in prayer before we begin our service. Almighty Father in heaven, we're thankful for another opportunity that we have to be here and to worship you. Help us as we enter into this service to cast aside the cares and thoughts of this world, to realize that we are here to do your will, to worship you and to praise you. Pray that we will focus our minds this evening on the things that Christ has done for us, also being mindful of the opportunities that we have around us and the opportunities that we need to seek to find to teach those that are lost. And that in doing so, we will teach Christ and only Christ, that we will not sprinkle in things of this world, sprinkle in things that so many in the world around us preach when they think they're doing what is right and think they're preaching Christ. Father, at this time we pray especially for those of our number who are sick, those who are undergoing surgeries. We pray that you will be with them, comfort them, be with those who are administering to them. Pray especially for family members of this congregation and those members of this congregation who are serving overseas. Give them courage and strength. Help them to not be downhearted, and we pray that they will have a safe return to this country and to their families. Please be with us as we go through this service. Help us to focus our minds on the things that we are singing and the scriptures that we are reading. Father, please continue to show mercy on us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We will be starting in John 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Moving over to verses 14 through 16. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. If you would turn with me to Philippians 2, we'll read verses 5 through 10. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth.
Please turn to number zero. Number zero. Sing and rejoice in the Savior's birth. Be singing all three verses.
Glory, glory, sing hallelujah, sing glory to God. Glory fills the earth, angels rejoice in the Savior's birth. Have you heard a child is born? Welcome, star that lights the eternal morn. Glory.
Glad tidings, the Savior is here. Joy. Carefully in the chorus. It's kind of tricky, the rhythm.
Reading from Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And in Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like the root out of parched ground. He has no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we have not esteemed him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with wicked men, and yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors.
Number 666. Number 666.
My precious Savior,
I'm Number 671, He Carried My Sorrows. After we sing this song, then the Lord's Supper will be served.
He carried my sorrows, He bore my grief, was pierced for transgressions, afflicted for peace. He knew by His stripes I am healed, through His blood I can heal, for by His oppression I worship my King. He suffered in anguish, He writhed in pain, was smitten for slaves, abandoned and slain. He knew by His despised and rejected, He knew no sin, was crushed for His people, no violence within. He knew by His stripes I am healed, through His blood I can heal, for by His own He gave me His all. He knew by His stripes I am healed. Through His blood I can heal. For by His oppression I worship my King, my Savior, my King.
Lord's table's been left prepared for those who didn't have an earlier opportunity to partake. If you would, after each prayer, please raise your hand if you wish to be served. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this bread which represents the body of Your Son who gave His life on the cross on our behalf. We pray as the ones partake of this that their minds will go back to the cross and remember that great sacrifice. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Was anyone overlooked? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this cup, the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of your Son who gave his life on the cross on our behalf. We pray, Lord, as these ones partake of this, that they might remember that great sacrifice and what it means to us as Christians. It's through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'll be reading from John 8, 31 and 32. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then also I'll be reading Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Number 439.
Oh, the Lord.
Please turn to number 655. Sing all three verses, please, in number 655.
The Lord told Joshua to go to Jericho and to march seven times around. He followed faithfully the blessed Lord's command, and the walls came tumbling down. Yes, the walls came tumbling down. Joshua marched seven times round,
and the walls,
mighty walls, came tumbling down, and the walls came tumbling down. If you are trusting in the power of the blood, and you hope to wear a crown, go forward quickly and obey the holy word, while the field will tumble down. Yes, the sinner, come to him today. Turn from this vain world's renown. If you will follow him in faith like Joshua, walls of sin will tumble down. Yes, the walls came tumbling down. Joshua,
Matthew 16, 18, and 19. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. John 18, 36 and 37. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice."
Number 506.
To me, be my Lord, trust me, and though I dearly love. This section is entitled, We Must Preach at His Return and His Judgment. The first verse we're reading is John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. John 14, 1 through 4. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now, if you will, turn over to Acts chapter 17, verses 30 through 31. Acts 17, 30 through 31. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man who he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead.
Five twenty-two, and the road is called up yonder. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound,
he comes to meet the Lord,
and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair. When the same of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the road is called up yonder, I'll be there.
There's a great day coming,
a great day coming,
there's a great day coming by and by,
when the saints and the sinners shall be partly right and well. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready for the judgment day?
Are you ready?
Are you
386. And we might repeat the chorus. 386. After the second verse. Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now it's at stake. Humbling your hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. Just meet in the skies, going where no one does, heavenward bound. Troubles will soon be o'er, happy forevermore, when we meet on that shore, free from all care. Rising up in the sky, telling this world goodbye, homeward we then will fly, glory to share. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom, trumpets will sound. All of the dead shall rise, righteous meet in the sky, going where no one dies, heavenward bound. Well, my Jesus is coming soon.
Message that of these things about Christ that we need to be telling others. I hope you saw that in the passage that we read and the songs that we sang. And before we offer the invitation, before I do this, let me say thank you first of all to the men who helped me out tonight and read these songs and read these scriptures. You all did a good job, and I appreciate your willingness to do that. But in closing, I would like to look at a passage. Actually, it's the First Gospel Sermon in Acts chapter 2, when the invitation was given in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And I'd like to just point out a few things where we see most of these points that we made tonight in these few verses here in Acts chapter 2. First, we said that when we preach Christ, we must preach His deity and incarnation. And in Acts chapter 2, let's look at verses 22 down to verse 24. And this actually talks also about His crucifixion in the end of verse 23 and verse 24. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put Him to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it. So there we see Peter talking about Christ coming to earth, making Himself man, though He was still deity, and also about His crucifixion there, and how these very Jews that Peter was talking to were responsible for crucifying Him. Also, look in verse 30, and then I'll skip down to verse 34, where we see an allusion to the kingdom, specifically here talking about Christ being on His throne, being our King, being our Lord. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 30. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to Him that of the fruit of His body, according to the flesh, He would raise up the Christ to sit on His throne. Speaking of David's throne, let me skip down to verse 34. For David did not ascend into the heaven, but he says himself, The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. We also sang about his judgment and about his return, and a passage that lends itself to the judgment and to the decision there, the difference between the saved and the lost. Look in verse 39 through 40. For the promises to you and to your children, to all who are far off, as many as the Lord your God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And as we look through the rest of the book of Acts, we see clearly that it's taught that there will be saved and there will be those who are lost. And we know that that will happen when Christ returns on the judgment day. Also, we know as we study through the book of Acts, if you look in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And as we study the book of Acts, we know that what the apostles were teaching was what they had heard from Christ. So they were teaching the doctrine of Christ, and when we preach Christ, we must preach his doctrine. And the big one here that we always go to this chapter for is the invitation. And we offer the invitation at this time. We must always, when we preach Christ, offer an invitation. And let's look at the invitation here in Acts chapter 2. After Peter's sermon, I'm going to begin in verse 37. After they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter tells them what they must do. He said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I hope that through this song service tonight, whether you're hearing the gospel for the first time, I hope that you realize what Christ has done for you, what he means to your life, or for all of us as Christians, let us realize that when we preach Christ to others, and that is our duty as Christians, is to teach others, that these are the things we need to focus on. These are the things that the lost world needs to hear. If you need to respond to the invitation at this time, you may do so as we stand and sing the invitation song.
us together tonight. And speaking of preaching Jesus, I hope that you are making plans, that you'll spend the next week praying about our gospel meeting and making plans to be here for every service. And if you have an opportunity to invite some others to come and to hear the gospel. And if you would like to help, Brian and I will be handing out some invitations on the campus, probably on Tuesday, weather permitting. And we've got about 400 more to get out, and I want to get every one of them out on that campus. And also like to thank Brian and Chris for putting together a nice big poster that we've also posted on the bulletin boards around the campus for the speech that David will be presenting on Wednesday afternoon at 4 o'clock. We're going to have a lot of things going on. He's going to be at Gary Job Corps on Monday. He's going to be at Texas State University on Wednesday and at Wimberley High School for two assemblies on Friday. And, of course, that's in addition to our regular services throughout the week, 7:30 each night. And I asked him to preach some lessons on evangelism. I think that we need to think about those things. And so Sunday we're going to devote our time to those, to work of evangelism, our work. And hopefully we'll spend the rest of the week then practicing what we hear and inviting others to come and to hear the gospel. Brother Banning's an excellent speaker, and I know we'll have an excellent week. Hope you'll be a part of that. Hope you'll come back and be a part of that. Do you have anything else, Jacob?
Closing prayer.
All right. This time we'll be led in our dismissal prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity that we've had to worship you, to sing praises to your name, and to praise you. And we thank you for being our God and for providing us this life and providing the opportunity that for us to serve you. We pray that we would always live as you would have us to, and to continue to try to correct our lives and to align ourselves with you so that we can inherit that kingdom of heaven that you've given us the hope for. We thank you for your Son, for his sacrifice that made these things possible. We thank you for your church. We pray that we will continue to be an encouragement to each other and to be examples and to teach others outside of these walls as well. We thank you for the elders and the preacher and all those who participate and help. We pray that we'll continue to follow your word and try to look for your truth and to teach your truth. We pray for those who are sick and cannot be with us. We realize there are a lot of those who cannot be with us from sickness. Pray that you would be with them and comfort them. May we always realize that we, through whatever trials and pain that we have in this world, we have the hope of heaven. And may we always keep our eyes on that. We pray that we will keep these lessons that we've had in our minds as we go our separate ways, so that we not only be strong today, but be strong throughout the week. Guide, guard, and protect us, and bring us back once again. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. short one. It's like I don't say it. Where his car is. Don't see where his car is. He's got a car.